Welcome to Greenish, where wellness meets girl boss, empowering you to live your daydream. Join me, Ari.
And me, Kate, as we seek the realness from the most admirable entrepreneurs. We'll get the inside scoop about the habits that inspire them, the mission that drives them, and reflection on their roots.
Let's get greenish and talk about what money and kale have in common. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Greenish. We are so excited because today we are joined by Rochelle Robinette, the founder of Supernatural.
Rochelle Robinette is the ultimate herbalism cool girl. And if you don't know what that means, don't worry, because you will soon. She began her career in fashion before founding Supernatural, a wellness cafe, shop, and product line of herbal gummies.
Yes, and she is certified in complementary and integrative health, along with clinical herbalism. And she spent literally thousands of hours teaching and speaking to clients in her private practice. She's known for combining a modern mindset with ancient holistic herbalism. Literally too cool.
And she doesn't stop there. She also spends time professionally consulting wellness brands. To sum it up, she believes the future of health is holistic, self-guided, accessible, integrated, and nature-based. In other words, herbalism.
We are so excited to speak with Rochelle today about all things plants, preventative health, and the struggle with perfectionism. Rochelle, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. I am super excited to chat with you more. Thank you for having me.
So, Rochelle, in the Greenish spirit, we like to kick off each episode with a discussion about your roots, your background, your childhood. What did this look like for you?
Yeah. So I grew up primarily on a farm in the Pacific Northwest. My dad came from a family of ranchers and really wanted to give us that like wild country experience. So we grew our own food, not all of our own food because we were a big family, but we had a huge garden and animals and did a ton of work outside and, you know, really got to experience what it was like to live on a farm and be in nature. And then, we also had the opportunity to travel a lot. So it was a little bit of a, it was sort of the best of both worlds. But as a kid, I think, you know, living on a farm and working on a farm is just a lot of work and it's not a lot of fun. So I learned a ton of lessons there. But my favorite was definitely when we got to travel and that, you know, that planted a travel bug, for me that I definitely still have. And as you know, as a lot of people sort of know, as they start to learn my story, you know, I came from a very health aware home, my mom's house and my dad's house. They were separate homes, but both of my parents were involved in medicine in different ways. And again, I think there were things that, you know, speaking of roots that were just planted there and very deeply ingrained in the way that I see the world and the way that I think about bodies and health and nature, that laid the foundation for me to do what I do, really with a sort of a spirit that's, I guess it's a very integrated and natural thing for me to do because again, I come from a lot of that sort of learning. So I know we'll get more into it, but basically grew up on a farm, traveled a lot, worked my ass off, and then ran away to New York City.
Hell yeah. I love that. Yeah. So, okay. It's actually perfect timing that we're speaking with you today because I actually just saw a naturopath for the first time yesterday. Ooh. First time ever. It was so fun. Her name was Natalie. I can honestly say I can't really talk to a lot of my friends about my experience in doing this and just kind of my journey moving forward in doing this because they don't exactly get it, if you know what I mean.
I mean, I'll say the Advil story of when I was little, kind of similar to your parents' philosophy and the way that they raised you and my mom, like never wanting to give me Advil because she was like, it's just a Band-Aid. Like, so growing up with that root cause mentality, I think is very aligned with everything you're saying. And I think there are probably some listeners rolling their eyes right now as the thought of, you know, plants as medicine, but it's because in society today, it's not like we have a very strong connection to the natural world as people in the past did. So how do you explain to someone that believes in medicine but it's just more of a cut and dry, like Western approach, that this is a valid way to view healing.
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, it's also a question that, you know, in answering, I'm going to describe sort of how I started to come to this as my way of life and my practice overall, you know, early on, which is that everything that we take in through our senses, we're eating, we're drinking, we're breathing, we're hearing, we're seeing light, all of it is affecting our experience. All of it affects how we experience reality, how we experience life, how we are, how we feel. It is all functional. Therefore, you know, the food that we eat is a medicine. The tea that we drink is a medicine. The essential oil that we drink is a medicine, or chemical that we just inhaled, or the blue light that we're overexposed to, or whatever it is on the other, you know, other end of the spectrum, are not medicines, but are making us, you know, to some degree imbalanced. So it is for me primarily about plants and about nature, but only because we are nature, you know, and,
I love that. That was a drop mic moment.
You know, I mean, it's so true. We are. And so, medicine absolutely has its place, and a lot of medicine came out of nature anyway. And it's not that I ever suggest that anybody shouldn't use medicine. It's more a recognition that we're being affected, you know, all the time, constantly, nonstop. And, for me, I became obsessed with what we take in through our senses and how it affects us. You know, I also, and lots of herbalists will practice in different ways, but, my practice is also very much rooted in science. And so I'm constantly looking at the mechanism of action of herbs and, referencing studies. And for me, and again, not everybody practices this way, and it's fine. Everybody can, you know, use their sort of methods in whatever way they prefer. But I personally need and prefer to have that in most cases, to have some sort of scientific or at least a lot of traditional use to back up the function of some of the remedies that I'll use. So that tends to help people who are skeptical.
I think it's interesting too, how so much like sickness comes from what isn't natural, like the pesticides, the blue light, like you were saying, and how like counteracting that with supplements, plants, like what comes from the earth just shows that like, that's what our bodies are meant to have.
And I'm always kind of thinking of it as the sort of pro nature point, but you're saying it from the other way too, which is totally accurate. You know, like the more unnatural, quote unquote, but also, you know, not quote unquote, literally the farther from nature we get, generally the more, imbalanced we are going to feel.
So, okay. Why do you think the philosophy of plants as medicine is so radical in today's culture? Like, how did we get so far from our roots in the first place?
Well, I don't know. I was going to say it's a tough question. I don't know if it's a tough question. I mean, we evolved, you know, to where we are now, and it doesn't mean that it was the ideal place to evolve to, right? And we're not done with our evolution by any means. And so perhaps this is a phase in which we're particularly separated from nature, but I tend to give full credit to our species for, you know, getting ourselves into the mess, frankly, that we're in right now.
It's definitely a mess.
It's pretty much a mess, you know, and in thinking about things like this, you know, I referenced all of the times that I'm asked throughout the day by people for help. And usually the question is posed as, what is the herb for X? What is the herb that I can take for this imbalance? And as you probably know, I'm constantly saying, you know, let's try not to think about it that way, because it's not a matter of an herbal band-aid on a symptom over and over and over again, but rather getting back to the roots, you know, talking about roots, and trying to rekindle a relationship with our body, which is, again, the same to me, it's the same as saying having a relationship with nature,
in which we can understand those symptoms, like a language, like maybe your mom is telling you don't take the Advil because it's just a, you know, a Band-Aid on a symptom, and like what gave you that, you know, pain or that headache. You know, my mom taught me the same thing. And getting back into a relationship with ourselves, with our nature, with nature, and the practices that we used to have of it all being very integrated, right? Where we are using this preventatively, we're using it as, holistic quote unquote medicine all the time. There are people who know how to do this. There's an herbalist in every home. It used to not be just a medicine that you went to when you were sick. It used to be this way of life. So to answer your question, I think it's just been a slow and, sometimes unfortunate progression. I would never say that it's unfortunate that we have modern medicine. I think that, you know, in most ways it's fantastic that we have that. We just need to learn how to integrate the two of those now, the natural way and the medical way.
I love that. And I think it kind of plays into how we live in a society that is fast, you know, fast food, the digital age is fast. We want a quick fix. We want you have a headache, take a Tylenol. Like, we don't really do the whole preventative care thing anymore. I mean, I have very few friends who even take vitamins on the daily. Like, people just don't really do that very often anymore. And I say people loosely, I know there's so many people that do, but I think generally speaking, most people don't. And I think it's weird how we've come so far from how it used to be, like what you were saying, but I'm really curious to see how it's going to make its way back, because I think now we're kind of getting close to the tipping point and like that breaking point where everybody's really struggling with things. I mean, I know so many of my friends complain about their stomachs hurting on the daily and like literally don't even know where to start on how to heal themselves. And I'm very curious to see what that breaking point actually is going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. And I wouldn't, you know, offer that I have any idea what it will look like. It could be that we do end up, you know, not burning the place down and like getting back to actual nature. There's also the possibility that we sort of manufacture it. If you look at what's happening with psychedelics right now, there's obviously this resurgence of interest and study and all of this attention to psychedelics. And, you know, amid that, pharmaceutical companies and others, not just pharmaceutical companies, but are in the process of manufacturing psychedelic like compounds and all of these kind of, you know, and so this sort of, they're manufacturing the plant medicine, right? And it becomes a sort of like this sort of man-made plant medicine, which is sort of, it's so us, right? It's so
human. It's the most human thing ever. What?
Right. And then, and there's a potential for a lot of good to come from that. And there's also potential for that to just go farther and farther in disconnecting us from nature. So again, I really don't feel like it's black and white, and I don't think we know from here. But you're right. So many people, you know, even in the wealthiest countries in the world are sick and disconnected and imbalanced to varying degrees every single day.
Well, and I think so, supplements, herbals, all of it can definitely be really overwhelming at first too. There's so many companies, there's so many types. And if you don't really know what's going on in your body, then you won't really know what you need. You know, you could be treating a symptom, just like what we were talking about before.
Yeah. There's so many points there that we could talk about. You know, one thing that I like to recommend is that when someone's trying to identify, is this a cause or a symptom, or what is causing my symptoms, is just to go and start to keep a little journal about it. So I have indigestion, you know, I have indigestion again, like start tracking and look and see, what did I eat? Or am I stressed out? Or did I take, you know, something? Did I drink something? Whatever it is. And just the process of us starting to keep track of things is going to help us connect better with ourselves, start to understand these patterns, start to see things. And literally 9 times out of 10, like that's kind of a phrase, but quite actually, most of the time, people are able to see for themselves the pattern and see some potential causes. The other thing that I would recommend is to start with food 100% of the time. And any herbalist will tell you the same thing, and probably your naturopath or any other naturopath, right? It's like food is the most important thing. You know, when you can affect that, it will determine later on if you need any supplements, which you need, if you want any herbs, which you need. It's like, it's the most boring stuff, but it's the stuff we've always known. It's about food, water, sleep, movement.
It's the basics, people. Yeah, let's get back to the basics.
It is, right? And they're like not sexy and they're not new. And we're more interested in adaptogens than we are in, like, you know, a healthy diet, or I don't know, it's eating kale.
That's what my mom says. My mom's like, Kate, you can take 30 adaptogens and all your medicinal mushrooms, and then like you eat like a brownie. She's like, start with the basics. And I love to take my supplements, but then I don't drink water for 2 days. So I'm like, I'm working on that too.
Yeah. And look, like, keep taking your supplements. It's great. But yeah, I just like to encourage people to know that they don't have to, you know, go buy a bunch of supplements if they want to be well. It's like, just make little decisions with your food where you can, and it can be life-changing.
Yeah. And herbalism isn't just herbs. It's lifestyle and food. It's a practice to encompass what you see as wellness. So you started Supernatural Cafe and Supernaturals, our favorite gummies. We have them here. It's like the first thing I reach for when I need a little afternoon boost. Ari, I know we've talked about this off air, but do you think our college friends would be interested in swapping their morning coffee for this? Because they're handy, they're tasty, and they actually really work.
Honestly, yes. I feel like, so at school, I would keep these, just like what Kate was saying, on my desk all the time. And the first thing my friends would do when they would come in my room was be like, oh, what is this? You know, what is this fun thing that Ari has? Like, she always has weird things on her desk. But they were always drawn to these because of the packaging. Like, they're really cute. We'll put a picture somewhere so that all of our listeners can see. But they're so cute. They're tiny and they're fun. And they're actually really good for you. So I honestly think, I mean, I got some of my friends into them. They love them. I think people love the taste of coffee, but like, it doesn't always make them feel good. So I think swapping out the feel good, plus it's a gummy. Like, who doesn't love to take those morning gummies? Like,
and
when you're a child.
Even more on the go than a coffee.
Yeah, exactly. So let's back up for a second. For all of our listeners who are thinking, oh my gosh, I'm so confused on all these words. Herbalist versus naturopath, supplements versus herbs. Let's talk about the basics real quick.
Yeah, that's great. I'm glad you asked that. So an herbalist is somebody who is working with, I would say, somebody who has the understanding of how to use herbs as medicines, as you know, food medicines, as healing supports. And I say it a little bit kind of loosely because an herbalist is also going to work with nutrition and they're also going to work with your lifestyle. But somebody like a nutritionist won't necessarily know anything about herbs. They might, and that would be great. But an herbalist is often more holistic than people think. They think that an herbalist is only working with herbs, but we always kind of we are taught and we therefore teach, you know, what I mentioned about starting with food, building up the lifestyle, making sure community is in a good place, mental health, like you have all of these, you know, all of your support system. And then, you know, herbs come into the picture and we can make you formulations. We can teach you how to do, you know, teas that you need. We can recommend, you know, supplements. So for me, for example, I will, work with nutrition, supplements, herbs, movement, like fitness and exercise, you know, help people do time management, like whatever it needs for them to get their health kind of fully balanced. And a naturopaths are amazing. In another life, I might be a naturopath. I think it's a really, really, fantastic discipline. A naturopath is a totally holistic, practitioner as well, that again might have understanding of herbs and definitely will have some understanding of herbs and then supplements and nutrition, and again kind of the full spectrum. And naturopaths and functional medicine practitioners or functional medicine doctors will have more access to some of the medical system that herbalists typically don't. So they can order certain tests and read certain lab results that herbalists may not have access to. So like I do a little bit of that, but often I would have to refer people to a doctor or to a naturopath or to a functional medicine practitioner to get specific tests. Kind of depends. And then in terms of the world of remedies, so vitamins and supplements, you know, most people are familiar with that. A lot of times that's kind of in capsule form. Sometimes it's powders, but I think a lot of people don't necessarily realize that, a ton of vitamins and supplements will also include herbal ingredients. Maybe it's just one, maybe it's a bunch, but this is where we start to see, you know, the more you learn about herbalism, the more you realize you're probably already using something, you know, herbal. You're probably already using a medicinal food. You're already taking a supplement that includes some herbs. You're already, you know, you're drinking a tea. I mean, coffee is a psychoactive, you know, plant that we brew like we brew a strong tea. You know, it's exactly the same concept.
Yeah, the best one.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Michael Pollan would agree with you there.
I'd love to take it back a sec on this journey to herbalism in your career. So you started your career in fashion. You were eating raw foods, you were vegan and sober. And then this wellness industry wave began. You didn't intentionally pursue this career path at first, but you always embodied everyone's go-to person to ask about health. So it was really drawn out of you. Ari and I totally relate to being that point person. I know fashion has a difficult lifestyle or culture. Can you describe for a sec, like working in that industry, the lifestyle surrounding it and how it impacted you emotionally, physically, mentally?
Yeah, with pleasure. Also, thank you for you've clearly done your research. I feel like often I just get asked the same questions, but you already know that part of the story. So, you know, I moved to New York to work in fashion. So it took me a couple of years of hustle to get into that industry in a way where I felt like I was really working in it. And when I did make it there, I got to work with people who I had, you know, idolized when I was younger. I pinned their work up on my wall, you know, as a kid, and I was getting to work with them, be on set with them, produce shows for them. So it was 100% a dream that was coming true when I was in that industry, and I was living in New York, and I was pretty young to be able to be doing some of that stuff. And I was working in ad agencies primarily with these clients, and fashion's crazy. Advertising agencies are notoriously so intense. And the combination of the two was like, you know, over the top. But it was what I came here to do. So like, I did not expect to have work-life balance. I didn't even want a work-life balance. I was like, I don't mind doing this all the time because I'm young and so I can handle it. It is extremely gratifying because it's what I want to be doing. It's madness, but it's like, it's, I don't know, entertaining, I suppose, fulfilling, you know, all these things. And I didn't experience like anything that I would consider, or maybe it's like, I'm trying to say I didn't experience any sort of toxic, like negativity. But I think it's more a matter of like, was that around? Totally. But how, like, do you soak it up? Like, do you let it in? Do you, you know, or do you not? And so I think it was actually more my relationship to the environment that allowed me to kind of appreciate it for what it was without being, without perceiving the stress as negative. And that, as like a side note, is a really big difference in terms of how stress affects us. If we think it's energizing, it's actually less harmful for our health than if we perceive it as a negative stress.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. If you're like, I hate this, it's terrible, you know, it's killing me, it's probably doing, well, it is doing much more damage to your health than if you're like, this is madness, but I'm having a great time or whatever. And to be totally honest, you know, I've not always been sober and raw and vegan. Like, there are other stories to tell there. But when I was working in fashion at the peak of all of this craziness, I was those things. And what it did was also allowed me to exist in that kind of environment And like, you can't work that hard and be hungover all the time. You just can't.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You would like implode. So,
which is actually something like, I think when people talk about like work-life balance and being busy, I don't think being busy or having like, I guess you could say a small work-life balance. Like, I don't think it's a bad thing because I just think it makes you prioritize more.
I would not disagree. Yeah. Especially if you're doing what you want. I mean, if you're working on Greenish and you're like, I'm busy, I'm doing this, I'm doing it all the time. Like, I mean, and that's like what my life is like now for the most part, but that, you know, it's great. It's like you said, you just prioritize the things that matter. You're being fed by it. Anyway, I mean, it was, people were asking me to teach them what it was that I knew about food, supplements. I was doing retreats at the time, or I went to Peru, which I feel like when I just say I went to Peru, I don't even have to explain anymore. Like, people just know what happened. And also, and this is an important point. So a lot of people think that I left fashion because it was terrible and I hated it and I had to escape this, like, you know, this negative environment, which is not at all the case. It just became the case that, I was still, you know, fairly young and I felt like I had sort of checked the box of like, oh, work with these icons, which I expected was going to take, you know, my whole life, or was just going to be my career forever. And I was like, oh my God, I did that and I did that and I did that. I don't think I need to keep doing this. Like, I don't think I need to be in fashion forever. And so I started to open up, you know, cognitively to the possibility of working in like other industries and other ways. So I was just kind of doing marketing and strategy and consulting and like being, you know, industry agnostic at the same time that I was like letting this part of myself that was always very personal and private, be explored. And I went through a breakup at that time also, and I moved into a place by myself and I had all this space and I had all this time, and I started to like make tinctures and do spells and like allow myself to follow that intuition that wanted to go into like these witchy places. And I was like, I'll go to a class on, you know, this like hypnotherapy and whatever. And I'm just kind of exploring. And I think it's really important that people do that when they have these inclinations and they're drawn into things, because by me doing that, I basically came out of, you know, this is a private thing that I'm just going to practice for myself. And I realized this is actually who I really am and who like I want to become more of and who the world wants, you know, to see more of. And it was just like this kind of convergence and this coming out, and a really memorable, you know, couple of years of my identity evolving.
That's so cool, because you allowed yourself to be multifaceted, whereas so many people just get tied down. And it's like, even if you're in a job, you can still have these interests and you can still pivot and try new things. And I think you talking about how intuitive the process was, like having to take a step back and really getting to know yourself and thinking through all the different possibilities when a lot of people don't take the time to do that. So I think that's really cool, and not putting yourself in a box. And you wear so many different hats too. So from private practice teacher to a public educator to an entrepreneur, when you were embarking on your career, was it your goal to achieve this model of like diversified revenue streams, or has each iteration of your company just evolved organically?
It's been far, far, far more organic than planned. And I think supernatural from the beginning, which you just heard, you know, me explain sort of the birth of it, it's still very intuitive. And obviously this far along with a team and all of these things, you're not making decisions like totally on the fly. But it's still very intuitive, and it's that intuition is a conversation with the community at this point. So what's happening, you know, in the industry, what's happening with my people, what is the world talking about, what is the world asking for, and then, you know, are we suited to kind of serve that? So there's very much a dialogue that's constantly happening. And I followed my intuition, you know, into this world. I actually had products very early on. So it was one of the first things I did was launch products along with my private practice. Those products don't exist anymore, but, you know, people have different ways of doing things. I like to test and learn test and learn and test and learn and test and learn. And so I do a lot of that still. And that to me is also part of that conversation. I am also a hustler.
Yes, ma'am. Own it.
And so, you know, it's been pretty nonstop from the beginning that I've been exploring the different ways that supernatural can be, as you put it, you know, the diversified wellness or diversified revenue streams. I mean, to say it briefly, it's really, you know, the ways that we can serve the community and best communicate what we're capable of doing.
Yeah. And like touch people in different ways.
Yeah. And look, it's got to work for us so that we can work for people too. I mean, I think my mind is one of scale, and I think business is something that I have a sort of proclivity for. And, you know, my thinking has always been along the lines of my private practice is wonderful, but when I do it, I can only talk to 12 people in a week or whatever, you know, 20 people in a week. And that's not enough. I need to do classes. The classes are great. That's not enough. I need to do online classes. Oh, no, those aren't enough. I need to go bigger. So I'm constantly thinking of like scale, and that requires, you know, building in these different streams and structures and teams and things. And it's not bigger for bigger's sake. It's like growing into your shoes. You know, it's like, yeah, we're not quite at the size that, you know, we feel like we're too big for our, I don't know, selves.
Yeah. Well, even being on the other side of that, like I came to your work through so many different ways. Like I came through it to it through the Well and Good videos. I came to it through Supernatural Cafe. I came to it through herbals, like, and I would just kept being like, oh, it's Rochelle again. Like, I just keep learning from Rochelle.
Well, I think it makes so much sense. And I honestly, most of our listenership is primarily in their 20s. So I think this conversation is so important for people because it's a reminder that you are still figuring it out as you go. Like, you have this vision for what you hope to achieve, but even that is morphing and I'm sure shifting as you're seeing just how many people you can touch and exactly how you can impact people. And you don't have it all figured out, and that's okay.
Yeah. And again, like, different people have different takes on this, but I don't think you should try to figure it all out before you do a thing. It's so hard. It's nearly impossible to like come up with your perfect thing and then put it out in the world and have everybody agree. Right. Be like, that's the perfect thing. Right. Thanks. I want to buy it. You know, more so it's like, you know, figure out what you're, I mean, for me, it's figure out what you're really excited about, good at, you know, called to, and try a little and try a little more and try a little more and try a little more. And like, for me, I always recommend that people plant all the seeds, get little bits of experience whenever you possibly can. As soon as you can just do, like, imagine if there's a thing you want to do and you're not doing it. Imagine if every day, or even just like every weekday, you did one thing, take you 5 minutes, one thing toward that thing, right? You sent one email, or you made one, I don't know, tea or one brush stroke or whatever it is. I mean, your life will change. And that's what I started to do. I started it, when I was still fully employed at advertising agencies, working disgusting hours. I got up in the morning and I just did 1 hour before work working on Supernatural. 1 hour before I was working on the subways, like squeezing in just a tiny bit of time, and things will happen.
I love that. That's like us with Greenish.
I was about to say, literally, just squeezing it in, like in between classes, Kate and I are like, okay, wait, so what do you think about this?
Yeah, voice memos.
Love voice memos too.
You've also talked about the importance of tea and this quote that if someone is willing to make themselves a cup of tea every day, they're going to get better because it shows that they're investing time in their health and that's what matters. Are the benefits of tea as strong as they are with a supplement? Like, if you need a vitamin, do you first tell someone to look to food, tea, or supplement?
Yeah, it's a great question. Tea isn't always the strong. It's not often the strongest. But sometimes we don't need the strongest. And sometimes, you know, something as simple as the scent of the tea will give you the benefit that you're looking for. So for example, lavender or some of these highly aromatic plants, all you have to do is smell it and it's getting into your system, into your bloodstream. It's working psychologically, but it's actually working in your system as well. Like, you know, essential oil, like take a whiff. So if you made yourself a cup of tea and it had lavender in it or sage or rosemary or something, as soon as you smell it, the benefits begin. So do you need like a super potent rosemary supplement in that case? No, you know, but you're right. The process of making the tea is part of the process of getting better. And back to the beginning of our conversation, when you make a tea, you see the herbs, you smell it, there's color, you're tasting it. There's a whole experience that's happening that you're more connected with that plant than if you popped a pill. For people who are starting out, and especially people who are excited about herbs, tea's great place to start. Because I mean, I'm like looking at like a whole, you know, wall here of herbs. They're all beautiful. You can see the colors, you know, and you're starting to mix them and you're brewing these teas. There's a connection and a relationship there, and it's completely different. So I would say, is tea always the strongest? No, sometimes it's more than enough. And it depends on what you need the remedy for. You know, if you're way too busy to ever make tea and you really need help and you got your diet dialed and your herbalist said, take rhodiola as capsule, sweet, do it, you know, but it just depends.
I guess that's kind of the, if people don't have the motivation to heal themselves, then their health won't really change. I want to get into this for a second. Just the premise and the concept of finding motivation to heal yourself. Like, Kate, have you ever lacked motivation to heal yourself with a problem?
I think I lack motivation. I see it as like different steps. So like if I can't focus in school and I'm really jittery, it's probably because I've lacked the motivation to work out. But if I haven't been sleeping, then like I can't work out. So it's kind of like we were saying, going back to the basics, I feel like when I get the basics down, then I'm motivated because then I'm like, okay, I have that in my pocket. Now, where do I go from there? But I think when those are off and you're kind of just out of balance, it's hard to push yourself forward when you're not even balanced.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And I know that really well, especially from practice. So it's sort of like, let's see if I can say it back to you. I don't feel good enough to take care of myself. Is that right?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't even feel good. Like, that's too much effort to get myself to feel, to do something to make myself feel better.
But then you're like, the only way to feel better is to do that one thing.
Yeah.
Or not even one thing, multiple things.
Yeah. Well, actually, yeah. So you're totally right. And what I do in situations where people feel that way is recommend that they actually only do one thing and stick to that one thing until they have that one thing. And it's part of
it. So it's not so daunting.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you're just like, look, I just have to take care of my sleep, then make sleep your number one priority for the next month. Make it your number one priority for the next 3 months if you have to, 6 months, like however long it takes. And then when you're professional at sleeping well, you can move on to the next thing, you know, and it can be, okay, now I'm working on breakfast, not even all of your nutrition, but like one meal at a time, you know, or I'm just working on my snacks, or I'm just working on, like for me, I'm working on meditation. It's been a really hard one for me in this life, you know? And so I'm like, okay, that's it. From now to the end of the year, my priority is this meditation practice. Probably will take me longer than that, you know? So.
And with this like motivation kind of route that we're going down, we, of course, in society love productivity. I have my brain food coffee.
There you go.
And you've written articles about how to eat your way to productivity, showing people that they can find solutions in ways that they turn to a pill in food itself to maximize brain function. Will you cover this for a sec?
Yeah, absolutely. So like I'm pro productivity. Absolutely. I think that's great. And it is true that way more things affect our brain than we tend to think of. So we tend to be focused on like the area in question. So it's like, you know, I'm looking for more productivity or focus or brain health. So I'm going to, you know, concentrate on like supplements for my brain or whatever it is. But most people probably need to work on their gut health if they want more focus and cognitive performance and mental health and brain health. And it's totally fair if somebody doesn't know that, you know, that's why I'm out here saying stuff. It's that, you know, our bodies are such a connected system that it's not always just about, you know, again, working on that area that you're sort of thinking needs the support. So for productivity specifically, again, like nutrition is super key. I mean, exercise is amazing. I'll tell you, after exercise, we are so much better at focus and productivity and flow. You know, I'll go for a run and then I'll sit down to write and I can just be uninterrupted, like mentally for hours. And it's incredible. And it's completely different than those days when you don't get that like endorphin flood in your brain. So, you know, sleep matters so much. And there are lots of herbs that are great for brain health. But I would say, you know, if you're somebody who crashes in the afternoon, look at what you're eating for lunch as opposed to what you can take to like pick yourself up out of that crash. Yeah, so many things. So it's like increasing fiber so you have stable blood sugar, drinking enough water. So I could talk to you about this for an hour.
health is so complex, but at the end of the day, it's so simple, which is such a strange paradox that people cannot wrap their minds around. Like they have a problem. They can't figure out what's wrong with them, blah, blah, blah. But instead of looking at what they're already doing, they're like freaking out about what they can take.
Yeah. Yeah. You're so right. And I think it comes back to, again, sort of what we were saying in the beginning, which is like, it's about what's natural and realizing that our bodies are natural systems and they need the same things that like your houseplant needs. Like, of course, you don't have to walk your houseplant, but like, you know, people know how to take care of dogs and it's like food and water and sleep and exercise. And we have to do that stuff for ourselves. And, you know, the other thing about doing those basics is it just reduces the amount of other stuff you have to do and worry about because you just feel better as a baseline. You know, I don't blame anybody for feeling how complicated it is now, because I think like you identified early on, we've gotten disconnected from it. And now we're in a system where it feels really confusing and it feels like you have to buy the stuff to take to be healthy, which is not the case.
Okay. So there are a lot of wellness trends, you know, anything in the gut health space to even medicinal mushrooms to literally everything. And it's funny because you see every company is suddenly obsessed with tackling XYZ issue. But I'm curious what you think the next wellness fad is. And then Kate, I also want to know what your thoughts are on this with regards to like college age kids. And I'm curious if you guys have the same answer.
Wow. I know my personal wellness fads right now. One's called Body Roll, and it's basically I don't even think it's a really a fad, but it's like a foam roller that you like kind of sit on. And I went to it in New York and I've never like felt better in my life.
It's like a machine, right?
Yes.
Oh, I've seen that. I've never done it though.
I was like, I don't know if it's going to work. Cause even foam rolling, I don't love it. I mean, I think it's painful, like whatever, as it's supposed to be, but I loved it. It was like a massage, but it did work. Like I loved it.
Was it supposed to be a massage? What is it supposed to do?
It's basically like a foam roller, but it's like the machine's doing it for you.
Oh, yeah,
and you're just kind of standing there, but it goes like very, very like deep into your legs and it is very kind of painful, but like it works.
I would probably love it. I love massage. It's my favorite thing. Like really deep tissue. Yeah.
Another thing I love, I have it. It's actually in my bathroom, but it's called the Apollo and my doctor recommended it. And basically it's like this wearable device and it puts you in a meditative state, but it's like passive.
Is it giving you little sense? Like,
yes.
Oh, I just heard about that.
And it works.
Oh, I want to try one of those.
It's like sleep. There's sleep focus and you pick the settings on your phone and press like play and then it just connects and like when I don't have it on, like I notice a difference.
That's amazing. Okay. Yeah. I just heard about that on a podcast and I want to try it. I was a little nervous of like how many wearables is too many wearables, but that one sounded very cool.
Yeah. Cause typically
Do you wear it like just when you're about to go to sleep or do you wear it like
there's modes for different times of the day. So there's a wake up mode. There's a social mode for like, if you're like going to see people and it's like heart opening and like, just I guess like loosens you up, calms you down, whatever. There's
goes to party, puts on wearable
that would be me. And there's a sleep mode, you can sleep with it on. And I'm kind of the same way. I don't really love the wearable aspect, but this has kind of changed my mentality about this one, like in specific.
Yeah, that's very cool. I mean I love trackers and all that sort of stuff. And I have an Aura ring that I wear and I track my fitness and I track my fasting, which is a little unnecessary. Sometimes I track like my macros and stuff, but like only if I'm sort of trying to check in and change things. Yeah. What is the next wellness trend? Well, that is the question. I mean, I think it's probably too obvious to say that what's happening in psychedelics is going to trickle down and out in a lot of ways. You know, one example of that is, the psychedelic community is using a term called empathogen and empathogenic herbs, or they're using it primarily to describe MDMA as an empathogen as opposed to an entheogen or a psychedelic, because you don't really trip. You just get like really heart open and connected to people and it's a different experience. And so empathogen, that word, applies to maybe a couple of other herbs that are not psychedelics. And one of them is called Kana. Have you heard of Kana?
No.
It's pretty like, mm-mm. It's pretty new on the scene, but you'll find it when you just do a little search. And Kana is an herb that they're calling an empathogen. And so now all of a sudden, you know, the internet is like, Kana, it's the next MDMA, but it's legal. Everybody get it quick. And it was like overnight, like all these people were coming and asking me about Kana. You know, journalists and like publications and stuff.
And you're like, sit down, calm down.
Yeah. But that's an example, right? Of like, there's this big movement happening and something that they say or do or, you know, produce like connects with a zeitgeist, right? Of people who are like party drugs and, you know, microdosing and all the other things that are happening at a different level in the industry. I love trends. I watch all these different things that I think inform the wellness industry all the time to see when these things start to happen. So like, if I could make a trend, I would make it digestive herbal bitters, also just called bitters. Because you mentioned everybody has indigestion every day, which is so true. So
literally everyone. Like, I think my entire social media page right now is hot girl, chronic bloat.
Okay. So yes. So there's like this epidemic of indigestion, IBS, all the things, right? And there's also there's that like pin, and then there's the pin of all these, you know, newer, like younger and younger generations who are less and less interested in alcohol. So they're drinking all these alternatives to alcohol. And there are these ingredients called bitters that are in most of the alcohol alternatives because they give you the tastes of like alcohol. They're, you know, hops and they're gentian and they're these things. And they're fantastic for digestion. And to me, I'm like, make it a thing, make bitters the next probiotics, please. It would be great.
And it would be cool. I could see that being like a cool thing, you know?
It would be cool. It would be so cool if all of your friends were taking bitters and they're like, oh my gosh, my bloat is gone. Now I'm just hot girl, like whatever, you know? And they are also great for blood sugar stability, which is so important because for older people, I mean, it's affected, you know, younger people are affected by it too, but the older generations with dementia and Alzheimer's and metabolic syndrome and all these things that can happen from chronic glucose destabilization, like bitters help with that, they help with metabolism, they help with immunity. There's receptors for bitters all over our body, like in our lungs and, you know, just in crazy places. So I think they're fantastic. They're super easy to use. Anyway, that would be a trend. I don't think that's going to happen in the next 5 years, but I wish it would.
You've also spoken about how meridians are a common parallel between many philosophies of the natural world. So there's prana and chi and different aspects of this. For someone that's only heard this word in the context of geography, what is this?
That's great. That's a great way to phrase it. gosh, I feel like that's an, you must have dug into the archive for that one from me making a statement on it. That is, so meridians are something that you encounter in traditional Chinese medicine and acupuncture, for example, which is how a lot of people will encounter traditional Chinese medicine in kind of the wellness world. You know, they'll go get acupuncture, and the meridians are the sort of energetic pathways that the qi is flowing through in our body. And acupuncturists and medicine practitioners know where to put needles to move that qi, either to unblock it or redirect it or like do whatever they need to do with it. And it is, you know, it is not identical to, but it is similar to concepts of prana in Ayurveda. And prana is, again, a sort of life force, energy in the body. There are a lot of different healing systems in the world, a lot. Ayurveda and TCM happen to be big ones, but there's Unani Tib and Kampo medicine and Western herbalism and lots of other systems. And there are correlations between many of them. And there are also differences. So I definitely don't want anybody to think that I'm saying that they're the same thing. I think it makes us feel like we're really onto something about the human body when we can see, oh, these people who've been practicing for thousands of years in different parts of the world who weren't crossing paths, had the same idea about things, sort of suggests that it is like an ultimate truth. The reality is that in terms of the energetics of the body and energetic medicine, which is where you get away from some of the like scientific study stuff I mentioned earlier, and you get more into esoteric and traditional sort of pre the scientific method, more intuitive.
So it's time for the best part of our conversation. For all of our listeners, in case you're new here, our episodes will always start and end the same. Just like you already heard us talk about Rochelle's roots at the beginning of this episode, we'll end by talking about her experience during the most influential and outright crazy time in our lives, our 20s.
Since our listenership is primarily college students and those in their early careers, we want to center this last segment on them. And because those years tend to fly by, this is also more of a speed round with questions. Rochelle, are you ready?
Yes, I'm excited and a little nervous. I'm ready.
So you grew up in Washington. If we're going to the Pacific Northwest for a vacation, where do we have to go?
One word answer. Go.
Summer? No, it's not a place. Squim.
It's on our list.
Supernatural Cafe was based in Brooklyn. What is your favorite Brooklyn spot?
It's like, it's going to take me a long time.
You can list a couple.
Brooklyn Botanical Garden.
You are stranded on a deserted island and you can only take one herb or one supplement with you. What do you pick?
Kava.
We know you studied plants all around the world. In our 20s, traveling is more accessible to us than at a later stage in our lives. So what is one place that completely opened your mind or changed your perspective that you'd encourage visiting?
So Honduras was the place. The teacher that I met there is in Ecuador now.
Rochelle, I see a ton of books behind you right now. Which one should everyone be reading?
I'll give you an herbalism book and I'll give you a non-herbalism book.
Okay.
Herbalism book is Adaptogens by David Winston. He's one of my favorite teachers. And then non-herbalism is Pure Color by Sheila Hetty.
If we have time to make one recipe from your site or Instagram reels, which one would you encourage?
I think you have to make the pie smoothie, like the pie breakfast bowl. It's like,
that sounds so good.
It's that good. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, you're going to have to describe that a little bit.
So long story short, I usually drink smoothies. I'm drinking smoothies all the time, but it's winter and like, I can't be having a smoothie. So I try to figure out how to deconstruct a smoothie into like a smoothie bowl, but then I want it warm. And then I figured it out and it's so good. So it's like berries and oats and then all these other great things you would put in a smoothie and you mix it all up together. And it's like eating hot berry pie for breakfast.
I need that because I'm a big smoothie drinker and in the winter I'm like, this feels wrong.
Sometimes it's extremely uncomfortable to be present because the world we live in today encourages a lot of distractions. So how do you stay present?
Yeah, I limit my notifications. So lots of like app blocking, do not disturb, inbox paused, throughout the day, lots of variations of that to create space for myself.
We end every episode with the greenish goal. What is one goal you recommend our listeners set, from mental health to founding a company to mastering their wealth?
I would encourage everybody to try to add one thing to their life that is natural health focused in order to connect better to your true nature, to be a better vessel for your intuition to flow and guide you in the way that you need to and want to go, and for you to be able to really just live your best life. And that's going to happen when you take that little bit of extra care.
Rochelle, you are so wise and such a light. We loved this conversation.
This was so amazing and grounding. Thank you so much for your time, Rochelle.
Thank you so much. I thoroughly enjoyed this. I hope we get to do it again.
Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode.
You can find anything we mentioned today linked in our show notes.
And if you want more, go to our website at www.agreenishlife.com.
We'll see you next time on Greenish.